Now we're looking at Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 6. And I'm going to be reading that in just a minute. But let me just say something. If you are a guest with us this morning, we want to say welcome. I'm excited that you are here. This is a morning we're talking about building a children's building. We're going to be turning in our commitment cards. But we're delighted that you're here, and I want you to understand why. You just get to be a part of a rare opportunity to see Harmony Hill at her best. It's been about 19 years since we have faced a challenge of this magnitude, but we are in the process of becoming more and more the church that our Father wants us to be. And that is, we are learning year by year what it means to give ourselves away. That's one of the challenges that we face ourselves with, and we make ourselves face that all the time. We're constantly seeking to challenge ourselves here to live counterintuitively to the culture, the self-absorbed culture that we find ourselves living in today, where it's all about me and what I want. Because we believe that one of our values is that we need to spend our lives investing in those things that matter to God. What matters to our Father? That's what we ought to be investing ourselves into. And so let me just say, if you're a guest here this morning, welcome. We're excited that you are here. And we want to encourage you just to sit back and watch what happens as we obey what we believe God is saying in our heart and our lives that He wants us to do. And let me just say, if you want to join in, we're welcoming you. We'd be glad to have you if God has brought you here to do that. So we are concluding today a 5-week journey into God's attitude about children. And I don't know about you, but I've learned a lot in just going through God's Word and studying this out. And here's, if you've got your life point outline, let me give you the first truth this morning for you just to write down, if you will. And that is, as followers of Jesus Christ, we have an obligation to help children get to Jesus like we did. If you found Jesus Christ, what the Lord wants you to do is to think about those kids, those children who are still yet to come. And that we do what we can to help those kids find Jesus Christ just like we did. Now, in our first message, we were reading about the disciples. They were trying to keep the children away from Jesus. You remember that? And Jesus made it very clear. It just infuriated him when they were telling the parents and the kids to get away and don't bother the Lord. And if you remember that message, Jesus made it very, very clear. And what he said to the disciples was this. He said, listen, he said, don't you ever, ever, ever keep children away from me. Isn't that a fantastic statement? The Lord Jesus said, do not keep children away from me. Do not do that. You let the children come. And that's taken right out of Mark 10:14. That's where we got the theme for our building campaign. Let the children come. Why? Those are the very words of our Redeemer, our Savior, God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Then 2 weeks ago, we got into Mark chapter 5 and verse 21, where Jesus heals two different people. He heals a woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years, and then he healed a little 12-year-old girl. And the marvelous thing about that was Jesus left this huge crowd of people. Now, when you go back and you read in the Gospel of Mark, the size of this crowd had to be huge. I initially put down in my notes at least 1,000 people. And I'm thoroughly convinced that it was at least 1,000. He says it was a huge crowd. Because when you go back and you begin reading in the Gospel of Mark, one of the things that you find is that Jesus had spent some time at the city of Capernaum. And the Bible says the whole city came out to him. Everybody came out. So there was this huge crowd even there. And so word was beginning to spread. And then the Bible says that he goes on a preaching tour to all the towns and the villages in Galilee. And then these huge crowds then started gathering. So there's this momentum picking up in our Lord's ministry that wherever he is, people are going because they want to hear him preach. And they want to see the miracles, and people are needing healing. People are sick, have demonic spirits and all that kind of thing. So there's a huge crowd of people this day that we looked at a couple of weeks ago. And there's this, he leaves all these people. He leaves all these adults. And what does he do? He goes to take care of the needs of a little girl, a little 12-year-old girl. Now, what's marvelous about that is he is leaving adults to go take care of a child. And what is even bigger than that, it's a girl. And I don't mean any disrespect, ladies, to you. I'm talking about the time period that we were in. Because in Christ's day, in the Roman culture, and much outside of the Jewish family, parents could turn out a child if they didn't want them. And before we, you know, diss them, we need to think, is that something that we do? Do we not here in America discard children in the womb because they're an inconvenience? That's the reason we have abortion. Children are inconvenient to me. They'll mess up my life. They're expensive. I can't afford them. And so children, well, that was happening in our Lord's day. And there was this whole cottage industry where a parent, even under Roman law, a parent could take a child, an infant or any child, and just simply put them out. Could put them out on the side of the road, put them outside their house. There was this cottage industry that would come by and would gather up all these children. And they would take care of them. They'd feed them, clothe them, house them, and that kind of thing. And so then, as they got to a certain age, these children would be either, number one, put into prostitution, or number two, if, of course, young men, they would be trained, if they were physically capable, of becoming gladiators and would be put into the gladiator ring seeking to make money for their owners. Now, if they couldn't do either one of those things, then historically, those children would be mutilated, whether break an arm, cut off an arm, make them go lame, put out an eye, scar their face, so that they became a perpetual beggar who lived on the streets at the trying to get at the heartstrings of somebody, begging money, and they would do that for the rest of their natural lives until they died. So that was the time that Jesus was living in. And so here's the next truth in your outline. Jesus walked away from adults to walk toward a child because children matter to God. That's what God wants us to understand. Jesus left all the adults and he went toward a child. It's totally countercultural till his day. And that's what we're doing. We are turning against the culture of our country. And we're saying children, all children, regardless of race, ethnicity, or anything, it doesn't matter. Every child is important. Amen? Every child. And we want people to understand we put value on the fruit of the womb, as God calls, because every child is a plan of God. So I want us to look now at Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 6. That's where we are today. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And he called a child to himself and set him before them. And he said, "Truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven." In other words, you will not be saved. You will not go to heaven when you die. Then he says, verse 4, "Whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one like this in my name receives me." Whoever receives a child in my name receives me. "But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him to have a heavy millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea." Our Lord knows how to get to the point, doesn't he? Amen. No mincing around with words on that one. All right, the first thing I want you to notice in your life point outline is this. Childlikeness is a mark of heaven's citizens. Childlikeness. Jesus, I think, made one of the most intriguing statements when he said, look at verse 3, "Truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven." Now listen, he is not saying you've got to be childish to go to heaven. That's not what he's saying. He's saying childlike. okay? There's a big difference between those two, right? Look at the truth in your outline. To be saved means to be childlike, relating to Jesus and to God the Father. Now, listen, that is a huge statement. People ask all the time, how do I know that I'm saved? How do I know that somebody is born again? All right, I've just told you one of the ways that you know. Because he says in the Word, unless you become like a child, childlike, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. What the Lord is saying is, it is an attitude. Listen, it is an attitude that comes from the work of the Holy Spirit in me and in you. I don't get this way on my own. This is not natural to me, and it is not natural to you to be childlike toward the Almighty. What happens is God the Holy Spirit has to come and do a work on me and in you. That's why the Bible teaches, listen, salvation is more of God than it is of you and me. We love him because what? He first loved us. I didn't choose him. He chose me, right? He came after me. That's where the glory comes from. And so the Lord is saying, I only become childlike because of the work of the Holy Spirit on me. So God is referring to us as his children. When he calls us children, what he's meaning is those who really are born again are men and women who see themselves as incomplete before me. You see yourself as weak. You see yourself as dependent on me. I've got to have God. This is one of the reasons why when believers profess they know Christ and they have no desire to come to the house of God, they have no desire to sit under the preaching of the Word. Let me tell you something, what is lacking? What is lacking is a sense of awareness of our weakness, our inability, our incompleteness. Why do I want to sit under the preaching of the Word? Because I realize if God doesn't help me, I'm a lost cause. I realize I need him. I've got so many questions. I've got more commas and question marks in my life than I do periods. I need you. Would you agree with that? We need him. That is a mark of the work of the Holy Spirit, beloved. And one of the things that the pastors here, one of the things that we are determined to do is to fight this easy believism in America today. That I know I'm going to heaven because sometime back yonder in the past, I walked an aisle somewhere and got myself publicly dunked. And that doesn't mean diddly if it's not changing your life today. It is not about what happened in the past. It is about what's going on in my life in the present. Amen? You understand what I'm saying? That's what God is talking about. All right, so we realize that we're dependent, we're undeveloped, we're unskilled, we're vulnerable, we're immature. All those things are the way kids feel in an adult world. And the Lord says, you, if you belong to me, you will be childlike in my presence. That is a mark of salvation. When we are born again, born into the kingdom of God, we begin life anew. And in the spiritual sense, we are children and we have all the weaknesses that childhood implies. Now look at verse 2. Jesus called a child to himself and he set them before him because they were all about who's going to be greatest in the kingdom. So the Lord calls to somebody. Now listen, they're probably in the house of Simon Peter. And, you know, undoubtedly Jesus had been here a good deal before. This child is most probably somebody in Simon Peter's family and undoubtedly had been around Jesus enough. And the Greek word here can mean a babe in arms, but it says Jesus called this child to him and the child came to him. And so he obviously knew the Lord because he responded and he comes walking over and he gets up into the Lord's lap. So this is probably a toddler. Okay, you've got a little toddler that has come up and he's crawled up into Jesus's lap. Now, look at verse 3 and verse 4. He calls this child, why? Because the disciples want to know who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And that is a perfect picture of pride. Who's going to be the greatest? Lord, is it me? You know, Peter had already kind of had a hard time. You know, Jesus had said, "Get thee hence from me, Satan." And so they always assumed Peter was going to be, you know, like the favored one. He was always the one out speaking and the one that just came forward. But so maybe in their minds they're thinking, well, maybe it's not going to be Peter. Maybe this position is kind of open. And so they're saying, "Lord, who is the greatest in your kingdom?" Which is a pride thing that they're asking, you know, is it me? Is it going to be me, Lord? Pick me. Just kind of childish, if you will. And so the Lord, what he does here in verse 4 is he says, the primary character, guys, he puts this child in front of him and he says, look at this child. If you don't become like this, you will not make heaven. That's what he said. So what does that mean? The primary characteristic of a child is humility. And the Lord says, only the humble make heaven. And he says, guys, unless you are converted, unless there is a turning in your life where you become before God like this little child, unless you reject this pride, until you get to the place, it doesn't matter what your position is in the kingdom is, all you want to know is, I want to be there. I want to be with the Father. I want to be with the Lord. I don't care where you let me live on the backside of whatever. I don't care. I just want to be there. That's the only thing. And so what the Lord is saying is, this is the characteristic of people who are going to make it. And what he's talking to him about is the characteristic of knowing that you're truly born again. And so let me just give you five elements of humility in your outline. Five ways that I become like a child in the eyes of God. Number one is repentance. Repentance. That is, I display to the Father a genuine desire to turn from a life of sinning. Let me tell you what that example is. It's in Luke 18, 13. Listen to what it says. The publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes to heaven, but he beat upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And so the thing you ask yourself this morning is, has there ever been a time that brokenness and fear of the judgment of God has ever been part of your life? That you trembled, that you were not going to make heaven, and you saw yourself, and you know there has been this repentance, this beating upon yourself. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 13, 5, examine yourself to see if you are in the faith. And that's what I'm talking about. Where was there that time in your life where you were a mess before God? You were a mess because you realized, if you don't forgive me, I'm a goner. Oh, God. Be merciful to me, a sinner. Repentance. Number two is spiritual bankruptcy. Matthew 5, verse 3, this is called poverty of spirit. What the Lord is saying is, in the scriptures, the only person God saves are those who see themselves as totally unworthy of being saved. You're not worthy. Poverty stricken. That's how a child comes. A child has nothing to commend themselves to God. We come before him. If I'm right, I come before him with the attitude of a child. I am spiritually bankrupt. I don't have anything. God, I'm coming to you like a little child. There's nothing. What have I got? I'm nothing. I need you. Number three is meekness. There's no air. There's no thought to personally promote myself. That's the way children come. Children come, they don't bring anything. They just bring themselves with all their neediness. They're not demanding anything. They're just saying, please love me. Please take me. Please watch over and keep me, right? It's this total meekness. That's genuine salvation. Number four, a desire to obey. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, enters the heaven. Listen, but he who does the will of my Father. Listen, the sign that God has saved me, the sign that I am truly born again, is there is a God-produced submissive spirit inside me that I have a God-given desire. I want to obey the Lord. I don't work it up. It's in me. I want to obey him. Like a child who is walking in obedience and brokenness before their parents, what they want to do is whatever mom and dad tells me to do. And the Lord said, that's the way you ought to become. And then lastly, a willingness to make the new life public. That's a sign of being born again. Matthew 10:32. If you confess me before men. And what, in other words, he said, this is the first step of developing boldness. That you are willing to confess Jesus before men. He said, if you do, I will confess you before the Father in heaven. If you deny me before men, I will deny you in heaven. Isn't it true that when a child sees mom or dad, it doesn't matter what's going on around them. It doesn't matter how many people are there around them. They run to mom and dad, don't they? They run. Why? Because that's mom and dad. I don't care who's here. I don't care what's going on. And a child will run to their parent no matter what. And the point is, do you identify with Christ before anyone and everyone? Who am I? I'm a child of God. Straight up. I belong to the Lord. And if you claim to follow Christ, but you've not submitted yourself to public baptism, you have to ask yourself, why have I disobeyed Christ's strict, unequivocal command for deep water baptism? Why have I not been immersed publicly? God doesn't call any of us to be baptized privately. People ask all the time, can I be baptized at my home? Yeah, you can if we invite the church to come. Now, I don't want to be in front of people. Well, that's not an option. Well, I'm just shy. Well, get over it. Get over it. Because if you're too shy to be baptized in front of people, you're too shy to even claim Jesus before everybody. Being baptized publicly is your first step to risking everything. You risk it. I'll risk it for Christ, right? All right, so why? I've got to ask that. So here's the truth. Childlike humility is the mark of biblical salvation. Matthew 18:13, truly I say to you, unless you're converted and become like children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. We've got to become like children before God. We're simple. We're not pretentious. We're dependent. We're helpless. We're trusting. There's no personal ambition to make a name for ourselves in the halls of heaven. And then number two, I receive Jesus. Receiving Jesus is what he's talking about. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. So here's the reminder in your outline. When we receive and serve the lost and the least of Lufkin, we receive and serve Christ. And the best way to do that is how we is our feelings and our criteria toward children. Children are the least and the lost among us. And the Lord says, these are the ones, when you receive and serve the lost and the least, then you receive and serve me. I want you to turn over in your Bibles. Look right quick at Matthew 25, verse 31 through 46. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he'll sit on his glorious throne and all the nations will be gathered before him and he will separate them from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he'll put the sheep on his right and the goats on the left. And the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison prison and you came to me? And the righteous will answer, when did we see you hungry or feed you or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, the children, you did it to me. And then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you accursed, into eternal fire, which is prepared for the devil and his angels. And then the whole reason they said, well, when did we do this to you? He dropped down to verse 45. He'll say, truly, I say to you, to the extent you did not do it for the one of the least of these, you did not treat children the way you should have. You did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment and the righteous into eternal life. Now, I want you to look at the truth question in your outline. No one is more vulnerable, needy, weak, and unprotected than who? Children. Write that in. Number two, none is more among the least than who? Children. So it brings me to number three, and that's the fearful judgment. Jesus said in verse 6, if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for them to have a millstone hung around their neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea. Now, a millstone, you've seen it. A lot of times, you know, you'll see maybe these huge ones, the big ones would weigh like a ton, and you'd see an animal, ox or mule or whatever, and they're just going around in a circle, and they'd throw grain in there, and it would just grind it down and make meal out of it. They'd have little ones inside the house for a wife to use in the kitchen. And you just think of that being tied, a rope tied around a human neck. And then that big stone rolled off a cliff and how it would just jerk somebody right down into the depths of the sea. And they go down and, I mean, just go all the way down to the bottom. That is pretty graphic illustration. I didn't say that. Jesus said that. And the Lord said, let me tell you something. You abuse a child, it would be better for that to happen to you than what's coming. That rattles my cage. All right? That's what the Lord said. That is how serious it is to lead a child astray from the Lord. That is how serious it is to keep a child from chasing after God. There are two ways you abuse a child. Let me give it to you. Number one, are two ways that you cause a little one who believes in Christ to not follow him and to go off into sin. Number one is abuse and exploitation. Abuse and exploitation. That's one of the things that we're in these days. To force a child into ungodly acts brings the judgment of hell and a horrible eternal death. Crimes Against Children Research Center says child pornography is one of the, if not the fastest growing business online in America today, making billions every year. The average age of a child in child pornography is 5 down. And these children experience violence sexually. And you've got men and women making money off of these little things. And I would be more graphic, but because of our audience here, I'm certainly not going to do that. But let me just say something. If there's anybody here or watching online and you were sexually abused as a child, you listen to me. It was not your fault. Amen. It was not your fault. They came after you. And they lied to you. And you were used and abused. And there should be no shame on your part. And your guilt is misplaced. And I want to encourage you to see a Christian counselor who can help you get Jesus into what you went through. You're not to blame for what happened to you in your life. And the second way we hurt kids is to lead them astray from faith. Jesus targeted anything in a child's life that damaged that child's faith in God. And here's the truth. Welcoming children and millstone judgment are different sides of the same coin. What I mean by that is, on one side of the coin is, we welcome children. Jesus said, you welcome them. You receive them. You do good to them. And then on the other side of that coin is abusing children and leading them astray. Leading a child into sin, destroying the faith of a child. Listen, if a child is coming toward the Lord and a parent turns that child against God, to turn them away from the Lord, there is a judgment in hell, Jesus said, awaiting that mom or that dad who destroys the faith of a child. Which brings us, number four, to our campaign. Listen, beloved, the last 4 weeks has me doing everything I can to stir you and to challenge you to do everything that we can to welcome children, to lead them to Jesus and away from a life that would be destructive for them. So let me just give you how I believe God is forming out our future. Number one, first of all, this campaign to build a children's building is just the start. All right, this is just number one. And here's the insight. The building won't turn out children who follow Jesus. Now, we've been talking about we need a place to disciple kids. Everybody understands, right? This building will not disciple children, right? We can have, you know, the finest chandeliers. I don't know why you'd want to put that in a children's building. But you could do that. You could spend gabillions on a building for kids. That's not going to change children's life. The children's building is a launching pad. This building will not make disciples, but it provides space for discipleship to take place. So here's the truth, don't you see? Men and women devoted to Christ are the only ones who can replicate themselves in the life of a child. That's why we have Pastor Ben, we have Pastor Richardson on staff to help lead our fellowship into discipleship of our lives and then into making disciples of others. This is the command of our Lord. This is how we change the trajectory of kids' lives, that we are getting them to Jesus. I cannot pass on to somebody else what I do not possess. And so we all need to become the best disciples we can be so we can pass it on to kids. Some of you need to be in children's ministry. True story. Some of you need to be in children's ministry. And it's coming. And I want you to be asking, God, what do you want to do in my life? Because you've got to walk with the Lord, and you need to be passing that on to these kids that God is bringing. The second thing, number two, our goal is not to build a campus of massive buildings that swallows funds. And I want you to understand that. We build when we build out of necessity. I want you to understand, our desire here on the hill is to go. We want to go. To go personally, to go to the unreached and the hurting with the message of Christ, all right? And so my heart is to see in the future that we will partner with like International Justice Mission. They help fight child and women's sex slavery. They lead in rescues and providing halfway houses to give the rescued a safe place to live and escape their tormentors. And they lead in seeing tormentors brought to justice, that we will be part of that. And then number three, next month we have an opportunity to help children caught in the endless cycle of poverty in the poorest areas of the world, like Haiti and El Salvador and Honduras and the Dominican Republic, through Compassion International. And they're going to become our newest partners. And so next month, you can help a child have hope and a future and learn about Jesus. Okay? So that's what it's all about. And then lastly, do you understand the world's going to do what the world's going to do, right? The world's going to do what the world's going to do. We don't get caught up in that. We don't start, you know, folding our hands in despair. Instead, we want to see an entire generation of children in an increasingly post-Christian culture. We don't want to see them grow up without even a memory of Jesus. We want to stand against that. There are kids that are being raised right now by parents who themselves are seeking, and they don't even know what to tell their kids about God or about Jesus. But you know what the blessing is? Many of those parents are coming here. I should have had a big amen right then. They are coming here to this ministry. And what I'm telling you is, on the hill, by the grace and the miracle of heaven And this campaign, we're going to offer a ministry called Kids on the Hill. And it is an atmosphere for children, a ministry that is all about welcoming kids in the name of Jesus. Kids on the Hill is dedicated to letting every child come. And that means special needs children beginning this next fall of 2020. That's going to be part of our makeup here on the Hill. You give God a hand clap of praise on that again. So, here's what I want us to do. We need, listen to me, be real still just a minute. We need a miracle. And I want us to confess today, building this building is bigger than you and I are. It is bigger than our financial resources. $6.5 million. And what I want us to do this morning, I want us to say, God, we're going to do what we're able to do, but we need you. We're going to be this morning, in all three services, we're going to be like the little boy with the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And we're going to say, Lord, here. It cannot feed everybody unless you bless it. Lord, take what we're able to give. Catherine and I are giving. We're giving way beyond what we gave when we built this building. I'm not asking you to do anything that we're not doing ourselves. We will put off doing things these next 2 years so that we can give to this building. Why? This is what's going to last for eternity in changing the lives of kids. And so right now, I want you to grab your commitment cards, all right? Maybe they're in front of you in the chair or whatever, or maybe you brought it with you. I want you to make sure. And Stacy, you guys can come, choir, orchestra. But I want you guys to listen to me, all right? So grab your commitment cards and make sure that your name and your cell number are on that card legibly so we can see it in case we need to contact you. And make sure they're printed clearly and legibly and the amount of your faith commitment. Now listen, if you have already turned in your card, but you want to be a part of today, and I've already had church members ask me this. If you've already turned in your card, Catherine and I have already turned in our card, but we're going to turn in one today. And we've already made it out. We made it out, and we put again what our commitment is, and we wrote at the top, duplicate, so that when we're counting those cards, we know this card's already been turned in before, but we just wanted to be a part of what God's doing today, all right? We want to put something in the bag. We don't want any of you saying, well, look over there, the leadership, they're not giving a frazzling dime. They're not putting in anything. No, Catherine's probably going to stand up and go, here, and put it right in there. Okay, so just understand. So if you want to do that, write duplicate on it. Now, some of you have already turned in your card, but God has spoken to your heart. God love you. And he has said, up. And you feel like, you know, I can do more. I can trust God for more. And you want to upgrade your commitment. Then you fill out that card, and at the top, you write upgrade. And that lets us know this is, you've already turned in one. This is your second one. And this one has been changed because you're going up. And if you're a non-church member and you want to join us, grab one of those cards. Write your name and your phone number on there, and you put down what you believe God wants to have you to do. All right? So, guys, if you come down to the front, these guys are going to come. We're going to be having some music this morning. They're going to pass among you. And when they get these cards, they're going to come, and we're going to put them in this little red wagon up here. And then we're going to have a time of commitment. All right? So, let's pray together. Father, this morning, Lord, it's time for us to do what we've been looking to do. And so now, we pray that you'll just settle upon us with a spirit of joy and gladness. As we put these cards, these commitments of ours down before you, we ask you to bless it and to multiply it in Christ's name. Amen and amen. All right, guys, let's go.